Hello and welcome to the Ship Shape Podcast, a series of podcasts where we meet amazing people and talk about their experiences, personal, technical, and all related to the maritime world. Come and dive in.
This week on the Ship Shape Podcast, we are speaking to professional super yacht photographer, Tom van Asanen, based in Alkmaar in the Netherlands. We find out how he got into this amazing and somewhat niche business, the nitty gritty reality of being a photographer and chasing big boats, and find out some of his thoughts about the future of the super yacht industry. My name is Georgia Tyndale, and I'm co-hosting this podcast from Lancaster in the UK. And my co-host is Meryl.
Yeah, Meryl Charette. I am a live aboard on a Tashing Toshiba 36 in Boston, Massachusetts.
So first off, we'll start with the basics. Could you tell us a little bit about your background and how you first entered the weird and wonderful super yacht industry?
Yeah, for sure. But let's start from the very beginning. My dad was with the Navy. So, you know, I was always around boats. Like I was pretty much, I'm originally from Den Helder, which is the only Navy town in Holland. It's the only Navy base in Holland. So, you know, it's completely surrounded by water. And so you were always in the harbor looking at the boats, you know, just fascinating, basically. Obviously, I don't know how I reacted to that when I was very young, but I can remember from since when I was like 4, 5, 6 years old. And me and my twin brother, we would always go, you know, to see the Navy ships out there. And yeah, I mean, that time there was a bit different, you know, there wasn't as strict of a security out there. So you could just basically, was like a bit of a playground. And that, you know, that continued until when I was 9 years old. You know, we would always play in the harbor, like me, my twin brother, my older brother, who's 4 years older. And there were always boats out there. And, you know, at this time, there were no fences in the port. You could basically just go wherever, walk around. And there was this one time when a big yacht came in, like massive. And the name was Boadicea. And built by Amos in Makken in the north. And I was like, you know, the three of us, we were all like, well, look at this. So, you know, we looked at it for a while and then she went to sea and came back, went to sea and came back. And then we asked, you know, like, can we have a look on board? And, you know, this was, as a 9 year old, very impressive to watch. I will never forget that she had the boat. You know, back then it was one of the biggest boats to be ever launched in Holland. And she had a little grass patch on the back, on the aft deck that was for the dog. And we were just so fascinated about it. Like, this boat has a garden. And, you know, to let the dog out, basically. So we were like, that's impressive. So after I've seen that, I was like, whoa, this yacht thing, that's pretty cool. You know, 9 years old and you've only seen Navy ships. And now you've seen a yacht and, you know, everything is different about it. Like the finish, the design, name it. So, you know, I kept being fascinated about it. And then a year later, or maybe the same year, I went with my school. We went to visit the Zuiderzee Museum, the Southern Sea Museum in Holland, which, you know, tells a story about the Southern Sea, which is now enclosed by a big dike. It used to be a sea. And I took my dad's camera, an old one, you know, still with film, and I started taking photos of everything there. So, you know, I think you had like 22, 24 photos on a film. I finished it all in 10 minutes. So I was like, okay, I think I'm going to like this photography thing, you know. So when I got home, you just want to learn more about it, read more about it. I was just very interested in ships and design from a very young age. And when I started working at the farm, like it's a very common thing in the northern part where I'm from to start working, you know, in your summer holidays when you're like 12, 13 years old, you work on the fields. And basically what you do is you pretty small still, and it's very intense labor if you're tall, but if you're small, you can easily get to like the tulip, you know, basically the tulips, they have to grow, but in order for the tulip, the bulb, in order for that to grow, you have to nick the head off of the tulip, you know, just before it starts. So then the tulip gets stronger and bigger, and after 3 years, the tulip bulb is as strong, so you get these beautiful flowers, which we are known for in the Netherlands. So basically, that's what me and my twin brother, we did that. You know, we worked at the farm, you know, in the end for 6 years. And obviously not only that, like you just do that for the first 2 years. And you just start working and, you know, saving money. And then you buy your first camera. So when you're like 12, 13 years old, I bought my very first camera. It was a digital one. Very crappy camera. But, you know, every photo I would take, it would just be like, You could just see a dot basically in the distance. And I knew it was a helicopter because I was also fascinated by helicopters. Helicopter or boat, and I was happy with it. Anyway, and you know, you start developing yourself, you know. After 2 years, you buy a new camera. After 2 years, you buy a new camera. That's how it goes. And, you know, you start using it more. People start seeing your work. Like, it's a tiny community where I live in the north. And soon you become this photographer who is always around with his camera in the port taking photos of boats. And, you know, literally every boat, not just a yacht, just every boat. Because, you know, if you have to wait for a yacht, there's only at the Muckham shipyard in the north, they were conducting sea trials for my hometown. And if I had to wait for that, I would only take one photo a year, you know, because they only deliver one boat a year. So I decided to take photos of everything so you can practice. You can practice on any boat, in any light, and, you know, name it. So by the time I was 16, 17, I got my... You know, I got a bit of a maritime page in our local newspaper, just, you know, only boats, basically. I had to fill a page a week with boat photos or things that were happening in the port. Or, if, you know, it's a pretty busy port, like there's foreign Navy ships coming in, offshore vessels, fishing boats, the occasional super yacht. So it was quite nice, but still it wasn't enough. I wanted more. I wanted to see more of these boats and things. But I also had to work. I had to, you know, go to some kind of school. So basically, when I went to school, I always had my camera with me. And on the way back home, I would always cycle past the port and then cycle past the airport and then cycle home, you know. So every day I would use the camera. And that would be my advice for everyone who wants to do something with photography, is to do it every day. Like, don't, you know, it sounds harsh, but don't go to a photo course or anything. I've never done anything like that. And, you know, that's just like teaching like a monkey a lesson, basically. It's just so much better to just go out there yourself and try and fail and try and fail. That's how I figured it out, you know. And
yeah, worked out really well. So what did you actually study then? Because it sounds like the photography you were doing on the side.
Yeah, I did it definitely on the side. No, I finished my high school and then started working for an offshore company as a customs consultant. So I did my customs consultancy education. And but you very soon realize that that's not gonna, you know.
Yeah. So tell us about your early career and how you actually managed to sort of get into the, you know, treating it as a career, not just a hobby.
Yeah, so that started pretty soon after, basically. So I worked for this offshore company. So I was always in the port taking photos of all the boats. And then, you know, you start to already feel that this yachting industry in Holland is pretty small, you know. You start seeing popping up the similar names everywhere. And, but, you know, still working there. And I worked there for 5 years, you know, at the best time. But after that, I went to work for a helicopter company. And during that time in that offshore company, I went to Ibiza on a holiday. It was in 2011. And I saw Modiyat A was there. You know, everyone, also many people who don't follow the yachting industry as I do, know Modiyat A. You know, she's this submarine kind of Philip Stark sculptured object floating. And I was like, whoa, that's intense. Like, now I really want to, you know, I want to know everything about it. So the year after, went to the south of France, you know, saved up some money and went boat spotting, which was, you know, low budget, horrible, whatever hotel it may have been. It wasn't too good, but, you know, you get to see the boats and it was fun. And then during that boat show, a guy bumped into me and he said, like, I know you. And I'm like, okay, I don't know you. And this guy was Marijn from Superyacht Times.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, yeah, I've seen your photos on Facebook. So I was like, okay, that's creepy maybe, but okay, that's fine. So anyway, I went to boat show. And then the year after, I went again. And there he was again. And then he said, like, come to my Superyacht Festival in Amsterdam and you will meet some people and it will be good for you. So I went there, took my camera, took like 9 photos, which he's probably still waiting. Because they were horrible. It was very hard. Like, then you also learned that the industry is quite, you know, once you're in, you're in. But when you want to get in, it's like, you know, there's like a big shield around it, which is really hard to get through.
Yeah.
And then he said, like, yeah, you know, one day you should come and work for me. So after my helicopter company career, which took a year, which lasted a year, but was a very good time of my life, I got contacted by Marianne, like, hey, maybe you should come and worked for me as a photographer / photo database manager kind of function. So that was my big step into the superyacht industry, basically.
Well, it sounds like you've had quite a beautiful life, from working on a tulip farm to, you know, just the scenery that you're around and the shipyards and all of that. And yeah. There is like a proverb where it's, you know, an image conveys a thousand words. What do you think about that saying?
No, I mean, definitely an image can say more than a thousand words. Like, it's always my aim, but when I do like a sail shoot for a boat, there's always like a lot of planning, you know, on the other side, like, oh, we need this and that, whatever. But I always say, like, you know, the only thing we need, basically one good shot that like grabs the attention of the one buyer, or, you know, a couple of potential buyers, and then the one end buyer is going to take it. Like, I always said, we need to have that image that, you know, there's a lot of owners or clients out there who receive a ton of like brochures from yachts every day. So we need to get them the one cover that they look at, and then they say, like, okay, I want to open it up. Once they open it up, they're requesting more information, and that's where we are, you know. And then you can be the best salesperson in the world, but, you know, pictures just do everything.
Yeah, I mean, from what from my understanding of the superyacht industry, obviously you and I both worked at Superyacht Times at the same time. We did have some crossover. I'm interested to hear more about your experiences of kind of yacht spotting and how it became professionalized and became, you know, superyacht photography became an industry, because it used to be, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, a hobby for people. It certainly started off that way, and now it's become this much more professional thing. What are your thoughts on that? And also, how would you distinguish the difference between yacht spotting and superyacht photography?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, when I started at Superyacht Times, so it was more like an adventure, you know. You were like nowadays, you got marine traffic, you know, you see a lot where the boats are. It's free software where you can spot basically all the boats, sometimes even the royal yachts, to know where they are. And when I was a bit younger, you know, I would just drive through a shipyard somewhere and just hope that there was a boat outside. And that was a bit of the, you know, it was also like I had no one inside the yard who would tell me, like, this is going on. Like, obviously, over the years, you develop, like, a certain kind of connection with these people. So, you know, if something would happen, yeah, they would inform you. But it was still, you know, very early days. And then, literally, when we started with the Superyacht Times Instagram account, for example, when we really started to pick that up, and we would, like, rent planes to fly over the North Sea, you know, to spot a boat, or just go to every launch. Like, obviously, social media has played a huge part in, like, the development of yacht spotting, or car spotting, or truck spotting, or train spotting in the recent years. Because everyone wants to show off what they shot out there, you know, as soon as possible, or the weirdest things possible, especially now with these drones, you know. Like, people put their drones everywhere, you know. Like, it's that became a big development in the last years. But then again, the difference between like a yacht spotter and a professional superyacht photographer, like obviously when I'm in the south of France, if I would be in the south of France 10 years ago and I would see a boat, I would hands down try everything to take that shot. But soon you become like a professional superyacht photographer. And now I look at a boat and I'm like, you know, those anchor stations are open, that hatch is open, the anchor ball is up. For me, it's not even worth taking the shot anymore, because it's not the way I want to show that boat. I want to show the boat in the way the owner wanted it, how the designer designed it. And the only way you can get it done is to work together with them, you know, and set the boat up in the best way possible. And that's the difference, I think, between yacht spotters. Like, there's a ton of yacht spotters out there that take photos of, also really nice photos, like, don't get me wrong. But obviously the boats are not set up for a professional yacht shoot. Like, there's, whenever we prepare, like, whenever the crew needs to prepare the boat for a professional yacht shoot, it takes days for them to get, you know, get the boat clean, get it right, get it organized. And then I come on board and I say, like, okay, I think we should need this, 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 and that, just in order to make the boat look the way it's supposed to be. Mm.
So when you look at one of these mega yachts, what do you see?
I see the most amazing pieces of, like, it's true engineering. It's like the one thing where, you know, maybe except for spacecraft, but after spacecraft, probably the best way, or the best ways that, like, engineering and design are combined is a super yacht. And then I mean, like, a proper build. Like, sometimes I'm even speaking about the production boats, because even those are already quite, you know, pieces of art. But when I speak about, like, a highly custom built super yacht, which has, like, from an IMAX cinema to heli hangar to moon pools to submarines on board, like, that all working together and also looking the way they look, like aesthetically beautiful, I think that's just, it's a piece of art. And you know, I spend a lot of time in these shipyards and I see them, I see it becoming from like a big pile of steel towards what we see cruising out of the ship, basically. And that's truly, it's remarkable. Like I see pure design and engineering, basically. I'm not even talking about, like, many people who know me, they know I'm not this yachting lifestyle fanatic or whatever, or champagne popping. No, the only thing that intrigues me is the actual product, you know, where thousands of people worked on for many years. I think that's very impressive.
So yeah. One of the things that you brought up was how it's difficult to get into the industry, but when you're in, you're in. And, you know, kind of throughout maritime, it's this idea of like word of mouth, right? It's very word of mouth. So, you know, what would be a tip for someone if they were thinking about trying to get into this industry? What would you give? Just hustle or what?
Well, no, well, I mean, I see it happening around me a lot already. Like there's nowadays, I mean, even with, like for me, for example, I'm, you know, obviously I'm shooting yachts now for, you know, almost 10 years or something professionally. 8 years, and for many more years before. But now, obviously, I love yachts. They're a passion of mine. What's also a passion of mine is that, you know, is space flight and you know, the aerospace industry, or and sports. So, for example, now if I look at myself, I'm trying to get a bit into this space flight sports industry. And now you see how hard work it is. You know, like, not to be arrogant, but if I want to shoot a boat, I'm about 85% convinced that I can get, if I see a boat and I want to shoot it, I'm about 80-85% convinced that they will allow me to, because you know, the industry is small, people know you. And now I love the fact that I'm trying to get into this spaceflight industry for many years now. It just doesn't seem to, but you know, the point is just not to give up. It's really, also with the yachting, like, it was quite hard work, you know, to get it done. Obviously, when I started working for Superyacht Times, I had the perfect platform to show my work. You know, it's one of the biggest online magazines, and I was very lucky to have that. But now there are many more magazines, and you see a lot of other guys that are also trying to, like, get into it, and they're also taking nice photos, and they, you know, like, social media did, I mean, help me out in the beginning, but also helps a lot of other people out in the beginning. And for the rest, it's just like, it's like starting photography. Like, take photos every day as much as possible. Get your own style out there. Try not to copy other people too much, which also happens a lot, but that's, you know, in all industries, of course. So I think it's just important to create your own style and just don't give up. If you really want something to happen, you know, you'll make it happen, but it won't come easy.
So you went from Superyacht Times, right? You were there for like 3 years, and then you transitioned to freelance. What was that like?
Yeah, no, it was like, obviously, I will be forever grateful for Superyacht Times, you know, for having worked there. But, you know, being like a media company, a well-respected media company, also from the shipyards and owners and designers, name it. But I wanted to not being only allowed outside the fence, I wanted to be in, you know, inside the shipyard. Like, I wanted to be where, like, the, you know, where the steel is being cut, and where the welds are being made, and where the superstructure is being put on top of the hull. And, you know, because that's where you can get really creative. That's the, you know, that's what the process I probably love the most. You know, see this boat come to life, you know, in like 3-4 years time, you see it coming to become one of the best boats in the world. And that's what I wanted to do. So obviously with Superyacht Times was great, like, but that's all outside. That's all in the open. That's all public. And which is good if you want to get your name out there, you know, because those are the pictures you can show, and you can show like this, what I can do. But later on, when you're convinced that, you know, you will probably have work, and you can work with shipyards or owners directly, then I would highly recommend that. Then that was my aim to do, basically.
So as you've alluded to before, there are some ideas about the superyacht industry being all glitz and glamour. And as someone who's stayed in some of those interesting hotels in Cannes and Monaco, I can vouch for the fact that it's not. What could you tell us a bit more about the day-to-day reality of chasing boats for a living? What's a typical day when you're trying to get that shot?
Well, a typical day, whenever something's happening in Holland, it's probably getting up at 3 a.m. in the rain.
Yeah.
No, it's obviously now we had some weeks of beautiful weather, but in general, a lot of things. So it's always a bit the aim to deliver a boat before the summer season, right? because that's when the owner can enjoy his boat in the summer. But obviously, you have a construction time. So there's a lot of things happening also in winter time or autumn or spring. And I would say usually get up very early and, drive to the yard, trying to stay dry and warm. That's a lot of, it's hard to believe now with these temperatures, but, usually it's freezing. And then, it's long days. But I always say, it's definitely hard work. It's the only thing I would ever want to do. I love being outside there. I've got the easy job. I always have got the easy job. I just have to push this button and find some angles. But there's also guys out there that have to handle ropes and, worked on it for day and night and are freezing cold. And so now a typical day is it's an intense day, definitely, because you have to be, as many people know who have like a creative job, like working with your head can be as intense as working with your hands. You always have to make sure you deliver something either what's expected or above expectations, and that always brings quite some pressure. So yeah, and then it's obviously a late finish, and that doesn't stop there, because what you shot today they want to have on their desk tomorrow morning. So then it's just editing throughout the night, just hoping that you manage the expectations well.
How much is it down to you and how much is it down to your clients on average? Do you come in there, have you got a brief generally, or is it now that you've got a bit more of a reputation, it's like, hey, well, Tom's just going to do his like Tom thing and it's going to look cool? Or how often do you have to say, oh, we need the boat like this, this and this?
No, I mean, obviously there's, it depends. Like obviously whenever shipyard things are happening in Holland or Germany, I guess there's very little things I can do. Like obviously when we launch a boat, I want it to look like we launch it straight into the Mediterranean, but it never looks like that. The boat never looked like that. There's plastic, there's hatches open, there's name it. But if I can come in there into like the project manager's discussion and say like, hey, it would save me. I mean, usually it's like, okay, well, this is the first time the owner or the world is going to see this boat out in the open, seeing it on the waterline or seeing it out in full, seeing the color in daylight, and then I always say like, I would like to look it as good as possible. That's always the aim, to make the boat look as good as possible. But there's also an understanding that the boat isn't finished. It's not ready for cruising yet. It still probably needs another 3 months before, it's ready. But yeah, I will be there and saying like, hey, could we close those hatches? Could we do this? Could we do that? But usually if I shoot a boat in the south of France, they'll have a perfectly worked up team there with a chief stew and or a purser and, everyone who knows how the boat needs to look as good as possible. There will always be minor things. I will tell them like, hey, maybe we should do this like this or that. But in generally, they have worked for the owners for many years and they know exactly how they want the boat to be set up. So I leave it mostly up to them. But in regards to like a brief from like, okay, we want you to take these or these photos, never. It's always like, Tom, you know how it works, so do your thing. And so far it's been actually, I think 99 out of 100 jobs go well. And then there's always this one that is a bit more difficult. But most of the time it works out.
Have you ever seen like a launching of a boat go wrong?
No, I mean... No, I think in, like, obviously we all see these videos on YouTube or yeah, whatever, where things go wrong. And that's, but like as I do most of the stuff in Holland or Germany when it comes to like yacht launches and, like the safety precautions, like the safety meetings, the toolbox meetings, they are, it's really hard to make a fuck up basically. It's, no, there's nothing really. I mean, for me, the most exciting part is see the boat going out. But regarding like sensational excitement, there's nothing really like that goes wrong.
No. Or
there's literally not a scratch on the boat. That's also because all the teams that work on it have done it for so many times and are all professionals in what they do. And, they won't. There's so much money at stake as well. Everything is being done like carefully. And yeah, if anything is about to go wrong, it will be an immediate stop. But to be honest, I can't even remember how many boats I've seen being launched, but I've never seen anything going wrong.
Are you a one-man operation or do you have a team of people working with you?
No, it's just me and myself. It's and to be honest, I like just being able to to be very flexible and to, you know, to move around and on my own and do my own thing. And obviously, like, what's becoming more and more important these days is video. So I work together with a videographer. And it's just for me, so I can just solely focus on photos. Like, I'm a photographer, and, you know, when drones came in, like, for, was it 10 years ago? And when I bought my first one a couple of years ago, it's very easy for clients to say, like, yeah, can you fire your drone up for some video? But, you know, everything what I shoot in video is not going to be on your photo. And I'm a photographer, so it depends a bit what you want. So nowadays, it's just me. And if the client requests video, I just bring a videographer in. That's the way to do it. Because if you focus on photos, you know, video will suffer. And if you focus on video, photos will suffer. And I just want to make sure that I deliver the best as possible.
Yeah. So are the majority of your clients shipyards?
Yeah, most of the clients are shipyards. Like, most of the Dutch yards and also the German yards basically are my clients. And then there's a percentage of, like, some brokers and the occasional designer and a few owners I work for.
But who would you like to work for, ideally, apart from NASA?
As much as I love yachts, I've been trying to get into this aerospace industry for a long time, and I've been following it closely for many, many years, 20 more years, and... But it's just a very difficult industry to get into.
Especially, and why is that? What makes it difficult?
Well, for example, like it's that, like, the security around those aerospace projects is immense. And for example, in the States, where obviously most of the spaceflight companies are from, it's like treated as like a military industry. So obviously, a foreigner is pretty much not allowed to work there. Which makes it difficult. Like, I do have, you know, in the last years, I've been in touch with, like, people from SpaceX and Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic, and I'm really trying. And they are also really excited. It just needs to, you know, you just need to get in one day and do your thing, and hopefully they'll be happy and they say, like, hey, you know, we like this. Can you please come back? And I know it will happen, definitely. Like, it took me, 15 years to make a penny or with superyacht photos, you know. So I all the time, not all the time in the world, but I'm definitely patient, and I'm pushing for it every day. Like, these people must go nuts for me sometimes with my emails and whatever. But now I'm really interested in it. And I think it can also be done a lot better. So that's why I won't give up. I won't give up.
So, you know, it sounds like being a photographer has afforded you the opportunity to do some traveling. Where has been the most memorable place that you've been to?
Yeah, I shot. It's been a really good run the last years. Actually, we're shooting boats, like, from New Zealand to Galapagos to Iceland to Norway. But my favorite place to shoot boats, that will be Norway. You know, like, the Four Seasons in a Day. The landscape is amazing. Like, I would say I'm a big ambassador for Norway cruising with your superyacht. Basically, I mean, to every captain I speak or to every owner I talk to, I always say, like, we should definitely get your boat to Norway, because it's mostly also because of the light. Like, obviously, any photo is made by the light around it. Like, it's not a studio. Like, you can't direct the light, so you have to work with the light you have. And I just found that my favorite kind of light is in the Norwegian fjords, you know, on a day with some clouds and, you know, low sun. The way the colors stand out, the way the design of the boat comes out, I would hands down. But I've got goals. Like, I would love to shoot a boat in the Arctic or in Greenland. It hasn't come that far yet, but that will also come. And then maybe I think differently about Norway. That's how it is.
You mentioned before about how it can be difficult to, like, obviously there's other superyacht photographers coming in, and there's lots of people on Instagram now taking lovely pictures of yachts. What is the Tom, this is a horrible question, what is the Tom Van Asanen style? You know, a picture paints 1,000 words. Can you give us 1,000 words about your pictures? Do you have a typical style that's recognizably yours?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that say, like, oh, we don't want to work with Tom because all his photos are black and white. Well, first of all, I've never done a black and white photo.
That's not true. That is not true. I've seen your photos, Tom.
It's not true, or they're a bit dark. And, you know, like, I like to include the environment. In, you know, whenever there's a nice sky, I want to make sure that the sky is in there. You know, that it, and as long as it complements the boat, that's my thing. Like, I just want to make sure the boat looks as good as possible. And obviously, that's not possible in like a shipyard. But when the light is nice and there's a little person standing next to a big piece of boat, you know, Like those are the one, those are the shots I like to include some people in it, not as like a model, but more like to show the scale or to accentuate the design of the boat. But my kind of photo, well, I think when I scroll through my own Instagram, for example, and I look at a picture I took 4 years ago, I now may find it horrible. But, you know, but it's the same with a picture I maybe took last week, because it's constantly developing your style. You're constantly looking at it. Like, sometimes I look at a picture like 4 weeks ago, I'm like, what was I thinking? You know, why did I do that? And then why did the client even say he liked it? And obviously it wasn't a bad photo, but it's more like you're constantly developing yourself. And I think that's the most, and that's why I say to people, like, do it every day, because then every day you will see new things and you'll learn from it. So yeah, I don't think I have a particularly like Tom van Ozanne style or something. Or maybe I have, you know, I mean, maybe that's why people like it, but I'm just always trying to look for the shot that no one else would take. And that's not always easy, but it's definitely a challenge. And you know, I like that.
Now, you brought up how editing is also a major part of being a photographer, right? Not only do you have to get there, you have to, you know, it sounds like a lot of things have to be working that are kind of out of your control, like the weather. And then once you've done with the photos and you get into the editing process, what's that like?
Yeah, so like you said, like it's to get that, you will never take the picture you had in mind. Like there's so many things different. Like whenever you are shooting, like doing a helicopter shoot, for example, like the light, you obviously want to steer the boat into the right light, but then you have to make sure that the helicopter pilot also knows exactly the altitude you want to go to, find the reflections, find all these things. And you always have this shot in mind you want to take, but it's always my idea to come as close to that as possible. And even if I'm close, like at 95%, I'm happy, because there's so many variables, like with the weather, clouds, name it. But then what many people maybe get wrong, like nowadays with like Adobe Lightroom, for example, you can buy like a preset package of like filters or name it, which are great, but that's just not what I do. You know, I shoot a picture with a certain edit in mind. Like you can't just apply a filter to any photo. That's just not how it works. But you have to, when you're taking the photo, you have to already know like, okay, you know, I think I want to go nicely, a nice contrast there, and if you apply that, and if you just take a basic photo which doesn't include that, and you will apply these editing settings you have created for that specific photo, it just won't come out as nicely as you thought it would be. And I always try and make for myself at least the nicest picture, you know. And but that process of like going from shot to edit, I think it's really like connected, basically. It's you know, in order to get this right, you also have to make sure the picture was right in the first place. It's really hard to edit a photo nicely which has been taken badly. That's the, not only in super but also a car or whatever. You see a lot of people who trying to save an image with an edit, which doesn't always work.
Pretty much all my photos that I have on my dating profile, I try to save it with an edit.
So what are some of your sort of, you've mentioned there the idea of not trying to save a bad photo. Do you have any kind of pet peeves about super yacht photos that can just go, you know, really wrong when people are trying to take a nice picture of a yacht? What do people need to avoid, and what winds you up in a photo?
What winds me up in a photo? Well, anchor balls, that winds me up in a photo. Whenever I see professionals shooting a boat and they refuse to ask the crew to take down the anchor ball, like, or the anchor mast, for example. So by law, obviously, when you're at anchor with your yacht, you have to, and you're above a certain length, in daylight, you have to apply a ball, like a big black mark, basically, on the bow of the ship to tell the people around you, hey, we're anchored here.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the shot, you can always ask them to take it down for 5 minutes, you know, or be on standby with it or something. And then the other thing that winds me up really is the anchor mast. So besides having a big black mark on the bow, at night you have to have a big mast up on the bow so that it falls out of the bow, basically, which doesn't need to be up in daylight. But some people just don't understand it, so they have that mast up always in broad daylight, and you know, it ruins the I always say, like, so your boss, your owner, he paid a designer €2 million or dollars to design a nice boat, and it was not designed with that mast up. So I always try to make people aware. Like sometimes when I was still doing like some real like yacht spotting out of like the Dutch canals or something, I always wanted to have like a big banner on a building which said like, put your mast down or something, you know, or close the hatches. my photos get better or something. So yeah, that's what, like I said, like I'm not even trying to take that photo anymore. Whenever these things are up, I'm trying to discuss this with the client, like, okay, you know, if I shoot for you, this is what we need to do. This is a little list of things which would be nice and save me a whole lot of like retouching.
So as you said earlier, you know, working with the creative part of your brain is just like working with your hands. And it can be pretty draining, I'm sure. So what do you do to decompress? What hobbies do you have? I know you got some ducks.
I've got some ducks. Yes, indeed. No, my four pet ducks keep me up at night and early in the morning. They're very noisy. No, yeah. So yeah, I've got these four ducks and they relax me. You know, I can just sit in my garden for hours and just look at them, you know, living their life and eating and discussing with a little beaks. And no, it's really good fun to, you know, if you can. Sometimes it's pretty hectic with the traveling and with the editing, and, you know, like you always have to be on your, whenever you're dealing with some of these high profile clients, you just have to be, you know, always like on top of it, you know, like just don't slow down. Basically, it's a bit rushed sometimes. And then also if you have some travels in between, like if you fly three times a week, that's already a bit intense. And then I just love to be home and just, you know, relax and, you know, with a beer or have some ducks or build some Lego, you know, these things. And that really relaxes me. Watch a movie. I'm a big movie fan. You know, I love watching movies.
What's one of your favorite movies?
My all-time favorite would be Interstellar. Mm. Yeah. Christopher Nolan. True visionary when it comes to movie making. And now I really, really love what he does. And I'm always looking out for his next one.
Have you seen the show Below Decks?
I was unfortunate enough to watch it. I mean, Below Deck, like it's entertainment, right? It doesn't show really anything about the true, like what I experienced. Like I've obviously not been a crew member and I will never be one. And I never wanted to be one, but because I get terribly seasick. But when I look at that show, you know, I rarely watch it, but if there's nothing else on TV, I'm just curious to see where they are, what other boats are there, what boat are they on, how does the boat look from inside. But nothing, when I speak to crew, it's not really the reality of living aboard a super yacht.
No, it's just one of those questions we have to ask if we have anyone on from super yachts. We unfortunately always have to mention Below Deck, just one of those things. Course.
No, I mean, I think they are quite successful in what they do because everyone seems to know it.
Yeah.
But I just see it as entertainment. It's basically like a scripted reality, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, no one's watching The Only Way of Essex and thinking The Only Way is Essex and thinking that's exactly what it's like in the UK. Though maybe they are. I'm from the UK, so I can't comment, but yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Tom, so you've seen some absolutely amazing boats over the course of your career. I know that for a fact. I also know for a fact there's an awful lot you can't tell us about some of your clients and some of the shoots that you've done. But what has been your sort of some of your best boats you've shot and why?
One of my favorite shoots basically would be the shoot of Black Pearl, the 106-meter basically super sailing yacht from Ocean Girl. She is I mean, still, I, you know, this was also shot before, for example, before Instagram Reels became a real thing. So I remember I was in that helicopter and this 106-meter sailboat in full sail come towards me and I'm just shooting it. And I think like, this is actually one of the coolest sights I've ever seen. So let me take my phone out of my pocket and take a quick 7-second video of this. So I did, and I will always keep watching it. So when Reels became a thing, for example, I decided to put it on Instagram and it went like bonkers, like whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, you take all these nice shots of boats and what people like the most is a shitty phone video. That's a bit frustrating, but that's the Instagram algorithm, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, Black Pearl, that would have been, I mean, still I can look through these images I shot back then. And obviously I would do it all different by now, but I was still very happy the way that worked out. And, you know, that's an absolute piece of art and engineering.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of images and Below Deck, do you think yachting as an industry has an image problem?
Well, I guess that's something of all ages, I guess. Like, you know, when the supervillain in James Bond is also having a yacht, you know, like that's a bit the connection a lot of people have with, like, if you have a yacht, you must be a villain or something.
Yeah.
But in my, obviously there are maybe people questionable about having their yacht, but like the owners I know and that I work with, they are very nice and generous people so far as I know. But I guess the media loves a good story, like in Holland as well. We build the most amazing super yachts in Holland. We've been doing that for decades. And you never really hear from the media whenever these things go well. The only thing, for example, in the last 12 months in Holland, Dutch media, the only thing you hear from them is like, okay, we get stuck under a bridge with an 80-meter boat. We have to take a bridge out because some rich guy needs to have a sailing boat get, you know, passed through, or boats being sanctioned because they are owned by Russians. It's the only three times these super yachts come in the news. Well, there's so much more happening, you know, providing thousands of people work. And for example, when I was once with an owner, you know, spending Christmas and New Year's Eve in a beautiful place, and he didn't have to bring like National Geographic scientists on board. He didn't have to do it, but he did it, you know, like he provided them his tenders, his stuff. They could do the shark research, you know, they could basically use the boat as his base. And I think that's also the direction where the general yachting industry is going. Like people are offering their boats more for like scientific research. There's more expedition yacht. Basically, every yacht is an expedition yacht, but more like expedition equipped yachts being built. And there's also a lot of people who just then obviously would provide like place for scientists to do their sea research or whatever. So no, there's things changing. There's not, especially with yacht owners being younger, you know, they want to be more, it's also of course a PR thing, but they also want to be more to show like, okay, you know, it's not, having a yacht doesn't only have to be like we're in Central Bay at anchor and we're just popping champagne. It's not like that at all. There's a huge shift happening at the moment now to people who want to take their boat out, go exploring, and exploring with the reasons to do also research for like climate change or sea life. And I think that's a good way to go.
Well, as you said, you know, how the media picks up kind of the bad stories, and that's what really gets like propagated throughout, like, you know, all the media. I mean, even the same with the ocean, right? Like for the most part, people know that the only things that they hear are the ice caps are melting, the tide's rising, there's a lot of plastic, and there's sea animals that live in there. You know, that's pretty much it, right? But kind of as we start to wrap this up, where can people find you and see more of your photos and all of that? Where can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so that's also changing a bit because I'm, like when you're spotting yachts, you can basically, the photos are yours, you can do whatever. And which is nice, you know, because then you can build up a portfolio, people can see your work. But lately I'm just like only working for like owners or shipyards directly. And on a lot of projects that they can't share anything about, which is a bit, which is sometimes frustrating because, you know, and my clients know this, that I find it frustrating that a lot of my photos end up on a hard drive, never to be shown. Because that's a bit, you know, that's not what I'm working for, right? So hopefully that's gonna change at some point, that I can show some more work again. And I would love to do like a nice book, you know, like a coffee table book, because I've got hundreds of thousands of images of the most amazing projects in build. And, you know, on some photos I'm really proud of. So I would love to show more of that. But I mean, you know, people can always follow me on Instagram or, you know, or have a look on the website. But yeah, there's unfortunately at the moment, there's not enough I can share yet.
Why do you think that is? You know, I feel like a bunch of people would like to show off the work that they've, you know.
Yeah, some people do, but unfortunately my clients are a bit more confidential, which is, you know, absolutely fine. I always see it like this, like I wouldn't like people to come to my house and take photos of in and outside and show it all over the internet. So that's a bit like, there's a lot of these people spend an awful lot of time on board. There's personal stuff on it. So yeah, I mean, it would obviously be good for the shipyard to have it shown, because then they can show what they can do. And they would obviously love that. But from an owner's perspective, I do understand the fact that they want to, you know, keep their projects for themselves, because that's exactly how I would do it.
And I mean, it's also what makes our industry appealing, isn't it, Tom, if we're honest? That's part of the intrigue. That's why people find it fascinating, is because there is that discretion and sort of excitement and so the sort of thing when a yacht comes out and is finally seen for the first time, you know, that wouldn't be the case if there wasn't also, you know, secrecy and all the rest of it. Like, it's a double-edged
That's a good point, actually, because when I was still a yacht spotter and I had to find out when a boat would launch and where, it would always be a surprise. Like, how is the boat going to look like? You know, you couldn't sleep the night before because you were like, oh, is it going to be white? Is it going to be blue? Or did they do something funky with it? You had no clue. But now, obviously, being involved in many of these projects from an early beginning, I know by the time, you know, the drawings are finished, I know exactly how the boat's going to look like when it's finished in 4 years' time. So that's nice to be part of the journey, but the surprise is less.
Yeah.
Even though it's still always different when you see it becoming from like, you know, like a 3D model in your hand, becoming like this actual yacht floating in front of
you. Do you still get excited, Tom? Do you still get the thrill of seeing a massive yacht on the water? Does that still excite you?
Yes, and sometimes it frustrates me because then I, you know, whenever, for example, whenever one of my projects is going out, you know, to sea or whatever, and I have not been asked to take photos, I can't help myself. I'm still just going, you know, like, because it's just, you know, it really gets me excited every time. And I think there's always something I could do better or different or name it. So yeah, it gets me, whenever I have a launch coming up of a project I've been involved with for a long time, I still have trouble sleeping because I just know that it's going to be such a good day, you know, a new baby being born.
Well, I'm sure that there must be some crazy after parties after it's launched.
Well, not really in Holland. Maybe in Italy. When you build a boat in Italy, you get crazy parties. When you build a boat in Holland, it's probably a cheese sandwich.
But do they still smash the champagne on for the launches still?
Yeah. No, that's still being done.
If you're desperate, you can always just stick your head under the bottle.
You could. Yeah, no, definitely. No, the crazy after party thing is not... not that I'm aware of. Maybe I'm just not invited. That could also be...
There's one more photograph that you need to take, though. We've talked about this before, Tom. The ideal is to try and get your four ducks on board a super yacht and take a picture. That's your ambition.
Yes, that's the aim. I would see what I can do. Maybe if they ever come to my hometown, I could bring them.
Yeah.
So they are a bit messy sometimes.
Awesome. Yeah, it was amazing talking to you.
No, it's been fun. Thanks. It's been, I think it's been really good.
Check back every Tuesday for our latest episode and be sure to like, share and subscribe to shipshape.pro.